What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members.
VIP stands for Very Important People, and their small monthly contributions ensure that this podcast remains free for all of you.
If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
I sure do thank you for your support. Now, here's your show.
Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down with one comic and we go into it in detail. I'm Steven Schleicher. Joining me, as always, is Matthew Peterson.
Yeah.
And this week we are taking a look at DC Comics Doctor Fate number one, written by Paul Levitz, pencils by Sonny Liu, I guess is how you say the last name.
Doctor Fate. That's how I'd say it, yeah.
And it's been a while since we've seen Doctor Fate rocking it in his own series.
He was in the Earth 2 series, but I think that was a different Doctor Fate.
That was in fact, this Doctor Fate is a completely new Doctor Fate as well. Doctor Fate introduces us to Khalid Nelson, which is interesting from the last name perspective because his father immigrated from Egypt as a doctor but was not allowed to practice medicine in the United States. He married a white woman. They had their son Khalid, and he is going off to a doctoring school as well. And his family works really hard. Oh, is that what they call it? Medical school? Yeah. Hey, it goes off to be a doctor.
Well, and it's also important to remember that first initial K Nelson.
Yes. And that's what I was going to get at is because Kent Nelson, was the original Dr. Fate. So I thought that was just kind of interesting, from that perspective, in the story in keeping with the K N, line. So here's something that you need to know before you read the first issue.
Yes.
Before you read the first issue, you may want to head over to DCComics.com and do a search for DC Sneak Peek Dr. Fate 2015, because this is kind of a lead-in. I don't think this was Free Comic Book Day. Maybe it was Free Comic Book Day. But it's an 8-page preview that leads into this series. And while it's not 100% necessary, I found reading a little bit more about Khalid was valuable for me. So I would recommend go finding it. Why they didn't just include it, and it's not available on Comixology, but why they didn't include it in the digital version, I have no idea.
That bothered me because you get a page into this. The first page basically starts in media res. There's a flood in Brooklyn. And everything is being overwhelmed by nature, and there's some sort of mystical being floating around. And then we get the thing that says, hey, if you missed the beginning of the story, I get why you'd want to drive people to your website. And I understand the point of a preview, but I feel like putting the first 8 pages of issue 1 of the book only available on the website, and then you go and you buy the comic and you find you have to go and do basically research to read the first issue of a comic book, that really bothers me.
And here's the reason why I think it's important is because in those first 8 issues, you find out that, you know, his dad's just not a cab driver. His dad is actually somebody who is put into the situation of being a cab driver because of whatever laws say that he's not allowed to practice medicine in the United States.
And something else that's important is my first read through on this book. I did not read. I read the book and then I thought, oh, well, I should go check this out. I came back and read the book again. The first take through the book, I did not realize that the cab driver was Khalid's father.
Which
is problematic. Again, portions of the story, not necessarily key portions or something that's going to destroy your understanding, but portions of the story that will, I think, become important are only available on the website. And again,
as other important things come up, there are two gods running around, Anubis, who we see in the first pages. And unless you know this demon dog is Anubis, then you're going to be like, why is this dog walking
Why is there a demon dog running around and speaking in rhyme?
The cat is, who's the cat represent? I forgot.
Bastet.
Okay. So those two are walking on water, and people are like, what the heck is going on? We're also introduced to Khalid's girlfriend, who's more interested in doctoring school than making out. So she's got her priorities all wrong.
She's got her priorities just right.
Yeah,
she's going fine. To set her future up, and she can make kissy face with a superhero.
Yeah. So I think it's rather important to, and then of course, the end of the 8-issue preview ends with Khalid going into the museum and the god offering the helm of fate, the helmet of fate.
Basically, Bastet says, here's your thing.
Yeah.
They're using and this is a font that I think I first saw, and it may have predated this, but I think I first saw it in Earth 2.
Mm, okay.
The font with the dots and the weird.
Yeah.
I really hate that font. And
It makes it hard to read.
It makes it difficult to read. And I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to give us the expectation that, you know, the Fate helmet or the godlike being has a strange voice. They did this about 20 years ago with Thor at Marvel,
mm-hmm.
where he had that weird, and they actually toned it down and pulled it back because there was too much of the old school thing to it. So I'm bothered by that. There are a lot of things in this book that kind of bothered me.
Well, and let me correct myself. I think I said Khalid Nelson. Khalid Nasur is his name.
Ah.
But I thought at one point Nelson came up in this first issue. So maybe I'm not reading something correctly or not. Who knows?
I could have sworn someone called him Nelson.
Yeah, that's what I'm a little now concerned about now that I'm having to go back through here. But anyway.
Right. And that's something else. We've read the book multiple times.
So what's happening here is this issue, Khalid is like, I don't know what's going on. I think my girlfriend slipped me some LSD. I'm going home right now. And then he goes into the subway.
There it is on page 15.
Okay.
The cat calls him Khalid Nelson.
Okay, well, then there you go. So, again, the only Nasur part comes from the preview. I wonder then if that was an editorial decision down the line or if maybe.
Maybe he has two different last names, one that he gets from his dad, one that he gets from his mom.
Or maybe he's a reincarnation of Kent Nelson.
Maybe that's why they do the thing.
I don't know. It's annoying. It was, to be honest, it was very annoying. Because they're flipping through those names like that.
Yeah, and this is my thing. And I'm going to preface this by saying that not everybody's going to share this with me.
Okay.
I try not to be the old guy who's like, oh, this isn't just
everything.
Like the original. I am really bugged by the fact that his costume is the helmet and over a hoodie.
Well, that's what he was originally wearing now. Who knows if the costume is going to change. But he's running around in a blue hoodie.
He's running around in a blue hoodie. And I think the hoodie is supposed to evoke
his cloak. Yeah.
The old costume with the cloak. Mm-hmm. But the Dr. Fate costume, especially as drawn by Jerry Ordway, is one of the best costumes DC has. It's way up there. And I don't know. I'm bothered by the whole thing.
Well,
a uniform. I don't care if it's silly looking. Give me a costume.
Well, maybe he will get a costume going
Let's hope
forward.
So.
But he at first is very reluctant to accept this, and he's in the subway. He saves a kid's life, mm-hmm. and the subway is bearing down on him, and he simply says, stop, and then everything stops. And he runs back to the museum, and the little cat, his cat, Puck, follows him. Should have known, troublemaker right there.
Good name for a cat.
But then he goes back in, accepts the helmet of fate, and becomes fate. And then goes flying off into the night, the pouring rain and everything. Meanwhile, Grant Morrison tries to kill Khalid's father.
It's not literally Grant Morrison.
Are you sure?
It's just a bald man in a suit. Not every bald man in a suit is Grant Morrison.
Are you sure? This one screams a lot.
Not every screaming bald man in a suit. Is Grant Morrison.
And I'm pretty sure. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, there are evil forces at work mm-hmm. where Bomet. What's the guy's name?
Bastet.
OK. Is like, oh, I'm going to get in trouble for giving you this helmet, but then I'm going to die. And then Anubis is like freaking out and grows into a 50-foot demon dog and is just, you know, doing all sorts of stuff. So there are otherworldly forces that will work to conspire against our new hero.
And something that's interesting, you know, and when you read a writer for a long time, you kind of feel like you have a feel for them. The last few things that I've read from Paul Levitz have not made me happy. Levitz picked up Legion in 2006 or 2007.
Was that the last thing he worked on before he left DC?
No, he did. He did much of Earth 2.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I didn't really read that series.
Yeah, on Earth 2. And that's the thing. The Legion didn't work for me because I felt like it was too much callbacks and not enough new stuff. And it felt like a continuation of his previous Legion. And Earth 2, the reason I stopped reading Earth 2 was that some of it was new and different, but a lot of it seemed like callbacks to the stuff that he was doing in All-Star Comics in the 70s and early 80s. So I'm a little bit, when I picked this up and I saw that it was Levitz, I was a little bit concerned because I haven't been connecting with his work lately.
Yeah. What was Dr. Fate's deal in Earth 2?
Dr. Fate, I believe he may have been Khalid on Earth 2 as well.
Oh, okay.
The Earth 2 Dr. Fate barely got powered up before Convergence, I want to say. But there was Khalid something.
All right, let me look here.
Let's see. Hang on.
Khalid bin Hassan. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
The Earth 2 incarnation of Dr. Fate. And he
interesting.
Had powers very briefly. Now, remember, there is no more continuity.
Right.
And this is back on theoretically Earth 0, but after Convergence, I mean, they're clearly willing to say ferpty burpty because I don't know if you read Justice League of America this week.
No, I did not.
It does not tie into any of the altered continuities of Superman, Wonder Woman, or Batman.
Yeah.
It's a new standalone series featuring the core seven leaguers in their classical, well, I won't say classical, in their traditional New 52 incarnations.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're too worried about having, you know, Khalid Nelson and Khalid Ben Hassin.
And Khalid Nasur.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to say that this is probably just Khalid is just kind of a cool name. And I don't know how common Khalid is as a name. It may be as common as Matthew or Stephen or something like that. So I'm cool with that. I don't have a problem with that. I'm glad that it's allowing some diversity into DC Comics. You know, hopefully they don't kill off Khalid's girlfriend in the next issue because that would be pretty bad.
Well, if they're going with a traditional Dr. Fate narrative, she may be important.
Yeah, and I think so, because back in, 87, when that Dr. Fate series kicked off, it ended up being what Kent Nelson had kicked off, and there was a man and a woman who both became Fate, and they merged together to become Dr. Fate, and then, issue 25 or something.
Eric and Linda Strauss.
Wife, yeah, then the wife took
Inza
over
Nelson.
As, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, she came back. Yeah, she came back as Dr. Fate, yeah.
And then, of course, they had the Fate. Do not read Fate. I'm telling you right now, from 1994, 95, if you see an issue of Fate, avoid those issues of Fate.
What was that one about? Because I did probably
read
it.
That was the kid who took the helmet and melted it down into a dagger and used it to stab people.
Yeah. I remember that.
He was terrible.
Then there was the Dr. Fate miniseries from right after 52 or something, where Nelson was a doctor who was, or I forget what his name was, but he was going insane and crazy, and there was a questionable whether he was a former drug dealer or had a dependency issue or something. I don't remember what that was.
That was Steve Gerber.
Yeah, it was not
that
super
was a
great.
That was a new Kent Nelson. Actually.
Yeah, it wasn't very good either. So I'm hoping.
Well, that was the last work Gerber did. He actually died during the writing of that.
Oh,
book.
Yeah, that's right.
So the ending may not have been a whole, you know, altogether.
I've got high hopes for this, to be honest with you. I mean, I really like Dr. Fate a lot. I've got a Dr. Fate helmet. Granted, it's not that 24 karat gold plated helmet that DC Comics is selling. But
why
it
not?
Was. Dang, the thing's like $500. It's expensive.
You know, if you were a real fan of Dr. Fate.
Yeah, if I was a real fan of Dr. Fate and still had a full time job at a university that paid me way too much. Then yes, maybe. But as it stands right now, and also my Dr. Fate helmet I purchased before DC announced theirs. And so this was a guy who was online and made it. And I was like, I'm grabbing that. And it fits my big fat head, too. So that's the other plus.
So that's important. Your head is big and fat.
Yes. And it even came with a medallion, too. So There you go.
Well, yeah, you know, the 70s were big.
Yeah, it was. And I'm going to definitely be wearing that the next time I get out my Paisley shirt. So yeah. There you go. As a first issue, I think this did a decent job of putting us into perspective of what's going on with Khalid. I think that it's not a very good issue if you don't go and read the eight page intro. So this could have been 32 pages. Could have been 32 pages. I wonder then if that would have caused the price to get jacked up.
I wonder if it was written as 32 pages.
Yeah.
And re-joggered after the fact.
Yeah. So from that standpoint, I you know, I'm okay with everything, but you do have to do a bit of a search to find the free eight pages if you're going to go read it. I really like the art. I really like Sunny Liu's art. And
the art is the best part of this issue, as far as I'm concerned.
The only way I was looking at a couple of still image, you know, they're all still images, but I was just looking at a couple of panels that he had done. And there are moments in that work where it feels like a mature Bill Watterson, even though Bill was older, you know, obviously older when he did Calvin and Hobbes. There's this definite feel of, or a big influence of, Watterson's work in Liu's art, which I kind of dig, because, you know, if you look at the parts like where they're kissing or where they're just looking at each other, and you look at the eyes don't have to be super detailed throughout the entire piece. I just thought that it was, I just really like that. It's very simple, yet there's a lot of detail in the art. And I got a big kick out of it.
You know who it reminds me of?
Who?
Do you remember?
Oh,
no, actually, it reminds me of the art of one of your favorite writers.
Who's that?
William Messner Loebs, who did Flash before Mark Waid. Bill Loebs was also an artist, and he did, for me, I remember Wasteland, but he also did Journey from Eclipse or Comico. But he had a very loose style, and it was, you know, very kind of not necessarily rounded. And, you know, Bill actually draws left-handed. His doesn't have a right hand anymore. And it makes for a really cool kind of art style. And this really reminds me of that in a lot of good ways.
Interesting. So maybe it's the smash-up. Yeah, maybe it's just a smash-up between those two. Maybe it's because, I mean, I look at some of these things and I was like, well, you can see this Calvin and Hobbes kind of style, but it's got a few more lines in it. But, man, I really like it.
That big three-quarter page shot, even though he's wearing a hoodie, where he first transforms.
Yes, where it's all freaking
out. That's
a
great image.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of – it's another example, and we've talked about this now, 3 weeks in a row. These DCU titles are taking chances, and they're not, you know, making sure that they're hitting certain numbers. They're not making sure that it's all the same tone. It's not a house art style. They're willing to take artistic and storytelling chances that I don't feel like they have been for the last year. You know, the 2011 relaunch had a lot of weird experimental stuff, and then it kind of settled into, we have Superman, Batman, then we have Superman, Batman, and if you're really bored, you can get Superman, Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
But now I think they're, you know, they're taking off in these weird tangents. The only negative part about the experience is that we just, and I mean just in the last 12 months, had a new Dr. Fate, and now this is a new Dr. Fate.
Right.
And soon there may be a new Dr. Fate.
I'd have to go back and look historically to see how well Earth 2 was doing as a series. Maybe it doesn't – I mean, obviously continuity doesn't matter, but maybe it was not so much a continuity issue as a sales issue. But here's the thing. Dr. Fate died in Earth 2. This is them handing the helmet over to somebody different. And Puck says that I've been watching you for a long, long time. So who's to say that this is not the helmet from of Fate that travels the multiverse?
Did Dr. Fate make it into Convergence? I know some of the Earth 2.
No, none of the Earth 2. I mean, the Earth 2 people were Superman, Flash, Green Lantern.
I could have sworn Wildcat was in there.
Whatever the what was the female? Was it with the red head? I forget what her name was.
Red Tornado?
No. And then Dick Grayson, I think, were the only five. No, she wasn't a member of the I want to say she was like a villain. I don't remember. I'll have to go back and look. I don't remember what her name was. But there were only like five or six people that made it heroes that made it off into Convergence. And then, of course, when they got Earth 2 back, all the spaceships that had made it off into space, even though we saw Dick Grayson's son's ship blow up on launch, he was on that ship, too. So they get reunited. And there's an all-new Earth 2 series going on now.
Ooh, it's called Earth 2 Society something something.
Yeah. How do they rebuild a society? Well, Divergence, and this is where this 8-page preview comes in. It is there's this Divergence series, which I guess is kicked off in the Justice League book this week. Mm-hmm. It has something to do with Darkseid. I don't know. I haven't read it yet. I haven't gotten that
Justice
far into
League
it.
Of America number one?
Yes. That is the one that kicks off the Divergence storyline, I think.
If it is, then it's not quite touched on yet.
Well, let me
get here. I got to tell you, I was not a fan of Justice League of America. I found it to be bombastic and kind of incoherent.
How did you find Black Canary?
I actually very much enjoyed Black Canary. Black Canary was, you know what I kind of liken it to?
What?
A Black Canary take on the Fraction Asia Hawkeye aesthetic.
Oh, yeah.
Where you take a character who's been this weird superhero. And I may have not been vocal about it, but I have not been happy with the new 52's Black Canary because they made her a soldier and a mercenary and a killer as part of Team 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't necessarily care for that. And this kind of takes that aside. I will say one wonderful thing about it.
Yeah.
She's a rock singer now.
Yeah, she's a rock star. She's a punk
rock star. So they took her traditional costume of leotard over fishnets with a bolero jacket and boots with high heels, and they made that her rock gear, on stage. And then she goes into combat wearing her classic costume because that's what she wears on stage to sing.
That's pretty cool.
I thought that was wonderful repurposing of old school material.
Yeah. So let's see. I'm trying to find out when I guess Divergence kicked off in that Free Comic Book Day issue. But Black Canary, I don't know. I have to go in here. But I'm fine if they want to mess around with continuity. I think where people are going to get more upset and maybe more confused is if someone is a fan of DC Comics and they like to read all of the titles or multiple titles or wherever. And then you land into a Black Canary issue that has Black Canary in it, who's a punk rocker. And then you read Batgirl, which has Black Canary in it, and she's like her friend, and they're traveling down the road together in a van and all this stuff. So,
well, that Black Canary apparently leads to this Black Canary. I haven't read it.
Oh,
Batgirl.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Supposedly, well, it's the same creator, the same writer.
Okay.
So that Black
Becky
Canary.
Becky Cloonan, is that who it is?
No, Brendan Fletcher.
Brendan Fletcher, okay.
Yeah, I guess there's multiple writers on
Batgirl. Yeah.
But yeah, and I actually like Black Canary better than Batgirl. And I'm kind of fine with the new Batgirl aesthetic. I mean, it's definitely aimed at people younger than me, but I can appreciate it for what it is, so I'm good with that.
Yeah, no, that's cool. No.
I think when it comes to Dr. Fate, if I were looking at it, it'd be one of those things where if I'm putting stars on the website, there'd be many more stars on the art than on the writing, and it would balance out to be a better, you know, a good issue for me because
Of
the strength of the art.
So for you, it's just kind of a medium issue. I give this a thumbs up. I think if you're a fan of Dr. Fate, pick it up. I mean, there's certainly have been worse Dr. Fate series out there.
Are you talking about the Keith Giffen one where everybody's face was a giant screaming maw?
Yeah, something like that. There have been some bad ones. Yeah. I mean, that one wasn't bad. Wasn't that DeMatteis also working on this, or DeMatteis working on that as well
for a while?
Yeah, so I mean, there have been some good ones, there have been some bad ones, they've been hit and miss. I'm just hoping that this one works out really, really well and goes for a while. If it only goes for six issues, I'm fine with that too, if they can tell a complete story. But this first issue is a little slow if they're trying to set up a whole big arc, and I can imagine that the first six issues are only going to be dealing with this flood. Which, interestingly, if you read Starfire last week, also giant flood and stuff coming. It's the end of the world, and Dr. Fate must protect the Mott.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
that's pronounced Matt.
Is it Matt? All right, whatever.
I hope not. I hate that.
So,
This is kind of a – I don't know if I say it. It's not even something that I would say. If you love Dr. Fate, I wouldn't say necessarily come into this. I would give it a shot. Give it a chance.
Yeah.
I'm willing to give this three or four issues based on what we're seeing here. It's definitely not what I expected in a good way, but it's also not what I expected in a bad way. And it, worst of all, it's a little bit of what I did expect in a not good way.
Mm.
And that's not just the medication talking.
I'm just going to go put on the helmet of fate and let the universe talk to me. So
fine. I will go and put on the cowl of the specter.
Okay. So coming out next week from Dark Horse Comics, we've got Captain Midnight number 24, Conan the Avenger number 15, Late Night with Conan on TBS. Mulan Revelations number 1. No idea.
Oh, I love Mulan
Revelations. Pastaways number 4, Tomb Raider number 17, DC Comics as Aquaman 41, Batgirl 41, Batman 66 number 24, Effigy, which is a mature reader's book, number 6, Flash 41, Gotham by Midnight, number 6, which I've series I've been wanting to read but have not been able to. Grayson, number 9. I'm trying to see if there's any more number 1s coming out next week. Oh, Justice League 3000, number 1, comes out next week.
Looking forward to that one.
We Are Robin, number 1, comes out next week, which I'm looking forward to. And the rest are all regular, I shouldn't say regular continuity, but they're all the 41s as part of the new 52 numberings.
41 and 52 is 93.
There you go. Back in 1993 when they reset everything with Zero Hour. What was Zero Hour? 94? Okay. IDW Publishing next week has a reprint, and I would encourage everyone to go and get this. Oh, no, this is an artist edition, so it's probably going to be way more expensive. But go out and buy it anyway. The Don Rosa Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck artist edition. That's a Please Inquire book. That one's going to be at least $150 if you want to drop that money.
But it'll totally be worth
it. It'll totally be worth it because this is like the size of the original paper, and it's the original pen and ink and all of that stuff. It's the artist edition stuff are fantastic. And to see Don Rosa doing the Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck, which we've reviewed on the Major Spoilers podcast in the past.
Yeah.
It's good. But it's
Rosa
expensive.
Does the best duck since Carl Barks passed away.
Jim and the Holograms number 4 arrives. Orphan Black number 4 also arrives. Let's see. There's a couple of Transformers books, More Than Meets the Eye number 42 and Windblade Combiner Wars number 4, which I think is that the last one of that one. There's an epilogue one coming up that's part of that Windblade series.
I want to say that the Windblade mini was 4, but it may have been 6.
Okay, so we can look forward to that. Image Comics has Fade Out number 7. Ooh, cannot wait for that. I love that series. Legacy of Luther Strode number 2, Mythical number 2, Rasputin number 6, Sex 22, Son of the Devil number 22.
Son of the Devil!
Bom, bom, bom. Spawn 253. Tithe number 3 and tithe. Wayward number 9. Oh yeah, reminds me I got to go throw some tithe in my laundry.
Marvel tithe pods. I'll just go in there.
That's what we have. Oh, and actually we switched out of that cuz it was causing a skin irritation on one of my kids, so
yeah,
we switched off to one of those environmentally no dye friendly brands.
I tell you, as somebody with sensitive skin, that's probably a good call.
Yeah. That was my wife's choice. My solution was, suck it up. Be a man.
Your solution was, yeah, you'll stop having a rash after a couple of years.
Yeah, in a couple of years.
When I was a boy, we used body, to eat gravel.
That old body rash will go away one of these days. Marvel Comics, no. Marvel Comics has Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies number 1. SWA. I think that's the one we should review next week.
So Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, just because of the
there's no
pure
possible
insanity.
Way that that could be ridiculous.
Yeah, there's no way that that could be awful. Ant-Man, Larger Than Life, number 1. Ant-Man Natural Enemy Prose Novel comes out. That's a $24.99 book. Ant-Man Trade Paperback, Volume 1, Second Chance Man comes out. That's $15.99. It's like, what is this? Oh, all new, or sorry, Ant-Man Giant Man Epic Collection. Ant-Man Larger Than Life is already mentioned. A lot of Ant-Man books coming out next week. It's almost like there's only 16 days after those books come out that there's an Ant-Man movie in theaters.
16 days till Ant-Man hits Dudar.
Wow, Marvel is really going to town with Darth Vader. It was the number one book in April from Marvel Comics. But they're reprinting issues 2, 3, and 4 all coming out next week. Number 4 is the third printing. Number 2 is the fourth printing, so that is very popular. Of course, Darth Vader number 1 was number 1 because it was part of the loot crate that month. What?
Darth Vader number one was number one, but it's a second printing of number two and a third printing of number four.
There you go. E for Extinction. E for Extinction number one comes out next week.
I thought that started with an X. Have the X-Men been lying to me for 30
well,
years?
There is an X-Men 92 coming out next week. X-Men 92 number one, SWA. Howard the Duck number four. Infinity Gauntlet number two, SWA. Corvax Saga number one, SWA. Oh, and hey, here's something that I'm sure we will both enjoy reading. MODOK Assassin number two, SWA.
You remember in Karate Kid 3 where the guy came in doing his wah, and Miyagi kicked his butt and then went, wah. That's how I feel every time you say SWA. I just want to walk up to you like Pat Morita and go, whoa.
Spider-Gwen was the number one Marvel Universe title back in April.
Nice.
And they are reprinting issues one and two, both third editions, coming out next week. Unbeatable Squirrel Girl number six is a second printing coming out next week. A lot of second printings, third printings, everything. It actually looks like there are not that many just single issues. It looks like there's maybe 15 single issues that are coming out that are not reprints and are not trade paperbacks next week. That seems like a rather low week for Marvel.
It's a fifth week, isn't it? No,
next week is July 1. So that's leading to July 4th weekend. But still, that's a good time to buy comics, because what else are you going to do on the July 4th weekend but sit around and read comics? Adventure Time number 41 comes out. Annihilator number six, Archie's Campfire Stories, is a trade paperback. Wait a minute. When does Archie number one come out? That's going to come out next week. No, not next week.
July 3rd.
No, it can't come out July 3rd.
Yeah, July 3rd.
It's not listed in this rundown.
Well, next week isn't July 3rd. Next week is June 24th.
Oh, is next week the 24th? Oh, okay. Gosh, I've got my weekends all messed up.
Yeah, July 2010. Okay. I think it's July 3rd.
All right.
Do we want to put the lock on that?
Yeah, might as well, before Chris Wilson gets it, that guy.
Chris Wilson, trying to steal that Archie.
He's always trying to steal the Archie. Whoops, something happened here, and I lost Matthew. Hold on. Nope, now he's back. Hello.
Hi.
I think you just made a lot of noise, and it cut out all the regular noise that we normally get.
I do make noise.
And that's why I thought maybe you went dead.
I'm not dead. I'm just highly medicated.
Auteur Sister Bambi number two. That's a mature reader's book.
That's just like a series of random. it's like stick hamburger cheese.
Oh, I had some stick hamburger cheese earlier today. Black Hood number five comes out. Booger Beard hardcover is a $12.99 book. A Booger Beard hardcover. Cleopatra in Space gets a collected graphic novel and hardcover editions next week. Crossed Badlands number 78.
I'm so confused.
It's got the Mega Fauna Mayhem cover.
Don't.
Matthew.
Don't.
It also has, speaking of torture, they also have a torture cover available.
They always have a torture cover.
For no extra cost.
It terrifies me when they do that.
Divinity number three gets a second printing. Doctor Who, the 10th Doctor, number 12. Evil Dead 2, number one, Beyond Dead by Dawn. Oh, no, it's not by Dawn. It's Beyond Dead by Dawn. No, it still sounds like it's written by Dawn. I don't know if she's a good author or not, but I will read that book.
I don't know. I know she was in that Planet of the Apes movie, and she's going to be in Superman v. Batman.
Ooh, yeah.
Dawn of Justice.
She's the Dawn of Justice.
Right.
My hands are soaking in it right now.
It's probably Don Wells from...
there you go. Hoax Hunters 2015, number four. What was your soaking in it? That wasn't Dawn.
No, that was Palmolive.
Yeah, do they still sell Palmolive?
Yes.
Okay. John Carter, Warlord, number eight. Johnny Boo meets a Dragon Puncher hardcover.
Johnny Boo!
Jungle Girl, season three, number three. Legendary.
There's too many numbers in the solicits these days.
I know. Legendary, Green Hornet, number five.
Ooh, I love
And
those.
Legendary, Red Sonja, number five. Mayday, number three. That's a mature reader book. Ninjak gets a bunch of books out next week.
Really?
Yeah, number three is getting a second printing. Well, they've got that big Book of Death thing coming up and kicking off next month. So this may be, I'd have to see. We just put the solicitations for September up for Ninjak. I didn't know if they were going to reboot everything or what was going on with that.
Well, and the Valiant books have been in kind of a...
It's still ongoing. Ninjak number 7 comes out in September.
I didn't know they had relaunched Ninjak. So.
Yep, Ninjak has been relaunched. A bunch of stuff has been relaunched. Let's see. Psycho Bonkers number 2.
Qu'est-ce que c'est? Wait, that's Psycho Killer. My bad.
Oh, Shadow number 100 comes out from Dynamite Entertainment. That'll be good. That is a $7.99 book.
Is that another one of those things where we've totaled up every book we made and we've decided that this is number 100?
Yeah, I think that. I don't know how. I don't know how Dynamite is spinning that, but my guess is. Let me see if we've already got it. Dynamite Entertainment. Oh, I know why I get screwed up, because Dynamite starts sending out their previews 2 weeks
in advance.
I was thinking, oh, next week is freaking ba-da-da-ba. And that's probably why I was thinking. Which means, is that where the stuff is at? No.
Well, yeah, the Shadow thing 100. Is, they snuck the last issue of Archie past us.
Yes, I know.
So, I don't know. Maybe they didn't see.
That's a different company, though. Let's see. This is a 50-page book that we have sitting here right in front of us. Is this? Holy crap. Oh,
what?
Shoot. For a minute, I thought all the art was going to be Francesco Francavilla's art.
In what?
In this Shadow 100 book. But it looks like a bunch of small stories. Story 1, though, does have Francesco Francavilla art. And I can tell you just by looking at the first couple of pages of that, totally worth the $8.
Francesco Francavilla. He is awesome.
Yes,
somebody
he
needs
is.
To give that man the Batman 73.
That would be so awesome to do that. Yeah, no. It looks like there are a bunch of stories in this Shadow number 100 that comes out next week. But I'm already saying from the art, there are how many stories? 4 stories? Story 1, 3, 5. 5 different stories. Okay. Wow. 5 different stories in this issue. Looks like Howard Chaykin is writing one of them and doing the art for one of them. Michael Uslan is writing story number 4.
Wow.
Matt Wagner is doing the story and art on story 5. So yeah, that's going to be a good. Oh, the story 1 is written and art and writing by Francesco Francavilla. So there you go. That's what's coming out next week. There's kind of a sneak peek, so to speak.
Sneakity peek.
Let's see, what else do we have? We have Tarot, Witch of the Black Rose, number 87. That is a Studio Deluxe edition, $20 book.
87 issues of that is inspiring.
Didn't you do like issue 85 or something? Oh, that was Lady Death that you did.
Yeah,
get those two confused.
I did an issue of Tarot, but it's been maybe a year or two ago. It's been a while.
Ufology number 3, Uncle Grandpa. Pizza Steve special number 1.
Okay, so Pizza Steve is a pizza, right?
Is he?
Slice of pizza. And the best part is he's like a Poochie type character. He wants to be this radical cool dude, but he's awful and everybody hates him.
Uh-huh.
So he comes in and he's like, "I'm Poochie D." And everybody's like, "Oh god, it's him again."
Huh, because I
Pizza
really
Steve cracks me up.
I really don't like Uncle Grandpa.
I don't either. The only reason I know them is because they did a crossover with Steven Universe.
Ah, okay.
Where Pizza Steve gets eaten by Amethyst.
Okay.
And at the end of the episode, it's dedicated to the late Pizza Steve. And there's this moment where they're like, "What's going on? I don't know, but I hope nobody misses that pizza dude."
So has he? I wonder if he's been in Uncle Grandpa since.
Yeah, that episode is non-canonical.
Oh, that's too bad.
It ran on April Fool's Day, so it was.
Oh, okay.
There's a point where Uncle Grandpa and Steven are like, "This is literally impossible," and Uncle Grandpa's like, "Yeah, don't worry, bro. None of this is canon." It's a nice moment. It is.
That is a quick rundown of some of the comics coming out next week. Of course, you can head over to MajorSpoilers.com Monday afternoon, where we print a complete list of all the comics that are shipping. Usually, Diamond waits until Monday afternoon before they release that, because they want to make sure that they have all the books ready and to be shipped out and off to the stores in case there are any cancellations. Although the Monday delivery thing may have moved that up, although they still say wait until Monday morning for the full, or Monday afternoon for the full solicit list. Yeah. What else is going on? We've got a whole bunch of podcasts. You guys can check them out at the Major Spoilers Podcast Network master feed. I think we will be adding in a new podcast, not produced by us, but produced by someone who does do work at Major Spoilers. We'll be probably adding that in next week or the first week in July. Oh, the first week in July, I think, is when we'll be adding that in. Let's see what else is going on. So much going on at MajorSpoilers.com. And of course, we can't do it all. We can't do it all. That's the problem. I'm looking at a. I am looking
at, do it all.
I'm looking at a list as long as my arm right now, and I got some pretty long arms of stories that I need to get up on the site, of comic books that need to be reviewed. I've got a stack of them sitting here that need to be reviewed, and we cannot do everything just by ourselves. Me doing it full time and other people doing it part time. I would sure love to hire some additional people. And the way that we can do that, and the way that we can make sure that we're able to produce more content for you, is to ask you, our listeners, for support. And you can think of it as a PBS Pledge Drive if you like. You can think of it as Patreon if you like. We prefer to think of it as the people that become our subscribers are very important people. There are VIPs, and we've got a special site set up just for you, members.majorspoilers.com. And you sign up, you help us out, which in turn gives you more content, and you get some bonus content as well over at members.majorspoilers.com. I would love to see more and more of you jump on board with that. I think our next stretch goal is 1,200 at 1,200 people, which we're just over 400 away from that.
Nice.
Not very many, but at 1,200, the Major Spoilers podcast goes live on Tuesday nights, and you will be able to tune in and listen and use a chat room and all of that good stuff. So if we can get, 400 plus more VIPs, we can start doing that. At 1,500 VIPs, we start releasing our Critical Hit podcast a month early to our VIP members. So you will be able to hear stuff through the Major Spoilers VIP site a month ahead of the regular release. Then at 3,000, we continue the adventures of the Modern City Tales, which a lot of people were excited about. And then at 6,000, a brand new audio drama podcast that I've been working on for the last 6 months or so. And I think it'll be a lot of fun. So that's where we're sitting, and we can do it all with your help. You, the listener, our fans, our favorite people in the whole wide world.
You guys out there.
You very important people. We love you all. Anything else you want to add, Matthew?
Rotator cuff injuries hurt.
Okay, yes. I had one of those when I was swimming many years ago, and I had to stop swimming.
Now imagine being old and fat.
I know. And I was doing this at a time when I was able to do about a mile a day swimming, and I had to give that up. And so it upset me very greatly.
Indeed.
Yes. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading and listening. Thank you for sharing this podcast with a friend. Tune in next time when you're going to hear Matthew say,
"Hey, I'm out of Tramadol."
Talk to you soon.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.